It's a beautiful view. It's a view from Bethlehem to Moab. It's about 15 miles to the Dead Sea on the other side of these hills. See, Bethlehem is a very exposed place, exposed to the change of the weather. It's called the land of milk and honey, Israel. And you might have thought that means luxury. I certainly did. But think about it for a minute. It's milk and honey, it's not bread. It's quite difficult to grow crops which produce wheat and barley in Israel, particularly in the south. This is desert ways. You know, there's 24 inches of rainfall on the ridge. There's 4 inches of rainfall down below in Jericho. In Moab, there was 16 inches of rainfall. So you've got a few years where they're getting really poor harvests, really not got the weather. There was some agricultural land just outside Bethlehem, and that's where the story is set. It's a little village, and there's some fields around the village. And there's this woman called Ruth. She's returning with her mother-in-law. She's so vulnerable. She's a foreigner. She's a widow. She's a woman who has to go out to work in a field full of men. It's a dangerous place. Will she know the protection? Will she know the provision? Will she know God with her? And perhaps you're here this morning or you're watching online and you're feeling vulnerable. Maybe you've had your universal credit stopped, or you've had a £20 less per week and you're wondering how you're going to put bread on the table. Maybe your husband has died and you're thinking, how am I going to cope? So this is a story which touches us all personally. It's a story about God, about faith in God, and do we know Him? Are we a seeker wanting to know Him better? Or are we someone who is committed to the Lord, but what does that commitment mean for us in caring for others? That is what this story is all about. Let's just do a bit of background. So there was this famine, and Elimelech, who was the father, he decided to take his family to Moab. And Moab was a short journey away, but it was a place where they worshipped other gods. They didn't worship the God of Israel. And we know that it didn't work out well for them there. The two sons, who had names which, like sickly, they died. They'd taken foreign wives, but these wives were now bereaved. And so with mother-in-law Naomi, the two women are coming back and they're deciding what they're going to do. And you see, Naomi gives this prayer. She says, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. She's given them that permission to go back, and she's saying the God of Israel will even show you kindness to you if you go back. This word kindness is the most important word in the whole book of Ruth. When God is explaining Himself, when God is introducing Himself in the Bible, one of the most important words He uses is kindness, loving kindness. Do you know when the psalmist says, His love endures forever, His love endures forever, His love endures forever? It's this word, hesed, loving kindness. Sometimes we can overcomplicate what it means to be a Christian. But if we are a Christian and we are not kind, we are missing the most essential thing about being a believer. Are we kind? Are we loving? Are we loyal? Do we keep faith? Do we stick with it in the bad times as well as the good? So one of the daughters went back, and the other one stayed. Beautiful prayer. She said, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." So we see that Ruth is actually a believer. She's from a foreign land and a foreign religion, but she has embraced the God of Israel. She says, "May the Lord, may the Lord." But she doesn't really know the Lord yet. She knows him a little, and maybe that's you this morning. You know the Lord a little, and you want to know him more. Is that true? Are all of us in that category? Every week, God shows me things which I feel I should have grasped 30 years ago, but he's kind. He gives me grace. And if God shows you something this morning that you just think, "Oh, why didn't I know that years ago?" It doesn't matter. Just live tomorrow with the light of that new information. So the end of chapter 1, we have this lament, this grief, this pain, because Naomi is returning back home because the harvest has returned. But she's feeling maybe a failure. She's making the right decision to return home, but she's feeling embarrassed about returning home because she abandoned her clan, her people, at the time of greatest need. And in this culture, the way you survived through the tough times was that the clan looked after you, the family looked after you. And if one member of the family says, "I'm going to go it alone, I'm going to head off to where there is grain," and just leaving the family behind. Now she's returning. And she says, "My identity is now changed. Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because the Almighty has made me very bitter. I was full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. The Lord has afflicted me. The Lord has brought misfortune on me." So she's not saying, "I don't believe." She believes as much as she ever did, but she's doubting that God is for her and God is with her. And she's very bitter. But grief does that to us, doesn't it? When things happen to us, we get so angry. And it's right, in a sense, that we can express that anger. We can express how we feel. And the Bible is wonderful because the Bible shows us human life in all its honesty. And here we have this woman that says to her daughters, "May the Lord show kindness to you." And then she says, "But the Lord has afflicted me. May he show kindness to you. But as for me, he's afflicted me." Maybe she feels guilty for leaving. We don't know the whole story. But can we trust God? This is what I want to focus in on. Can we trust God in a time of famine? Can we trust God in a time of loss? Can we trust in his providence, that he's in control? Can we trust in his provision, that he will give us what we need? Not necessarily what we want, but will he give us what we need? And will he protect us from the storms of life? His providence, His provision, and His protection. This word providence, it is all throughout the whole Bible. The word providence doesn't appear, but the idea that God is in control, the Creator God, and that He's in control of everything. That's really hard when things happen, when perhaps a child gets very ill with a disability or something like that, or the business gets wiped out. Or maybe you've made great sacrifices to serve God and things don't work out. And someone says to you, God's in control. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord and those who are called according to His purpose. And you're thinking, yeah, I believe that, but in your heart you're saying, I'm not seeing it. Can we trust God's providence? See, God works in mysterious ways. His purpose to perform, it's often through situations that we would never have chosen that God is at work. So we can ask two questions. We can say, why has God allowed this? Or we can say, what is God doing through this? Because we may not know why God has allowed this to happen. We may never have the answer to that question. But we will get the answer, at least in part, to the question, what is God doing through this? What is God doing in me through this? If we take the coronavirus pandemic, why has God allowed this? People have written books on it, trying to explain it. I don't think any of the books have convinced me that someone's got a handle on the exact reason. And I've not found these books very helpful at all. But I know that God is at work through it. I know that in my own life, that He is strengthening my faith through it. When we have a hurdle in front of us and God gives us the strength to jump over that hurdle, our faith gets stronger. Because the next time we have an unwelcome tragedy or something that comes into our life, we're thinking, I'm never going to be able to cope. I just don't think my faith will stand. But then you go, but 10 years ago, I had to go through something like that. And God carried me through it. And I didn't want it to happen, but good things came out of it. That's providence. You see, Naomi has forgotten one of the greatest stories, which is the story of Joseph, which is set in a famine. And how God provides for the family of Israel, Jacob's sons and their family, when they went to Egypt. And when Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, they thought they were goners. And he forgave them. And they could live again. But when the father died, they thought, he's going to really get us now. Because dad's not watching. Joseph's going to come and finish us off. And what does Joseph say? Genesis 50, verse 21. I encourage you to learn it. He says, God intended this for good. You intended to harm me, but God intended this for good, for the saving of many lives. Let us allow these words to burn into our hearts, that things happen which look like they are going to afflict us, but God is at work in these situations to bring good to us and through us. The saving of many lives. The story of Ruth, as you pan back the camera, you see that there's a bigger picture at work here. It's not only about a famine, it's also about a family. It's about the grandmother of King David. If you look in Matthew chapter 1, you see that Ruth is there in the family of Jesus. And so the words of Joseph, that this was intended by God for the saving of many lives, is also true in the story of Ruth. That the plan of God is to bless all the world through this family. And Moab, a Moabite woman in the middle of the family tree, gives hope to all nations and all peoples. God has got a bigger plan. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Arrives just in time. And God's going to provide for them, but they don't know it yet. And God provides for them through the family of Israel, through the values by which this family has operated. First of all, there's the law. You know, we live in a country where the laws are changing away from the Judeo-Christian principles. But the Judeo principles are wonderful. This is what they were to do at harvest time. Do not reap the edges of the field, but leave them for the poor, the foreigner, and the fatherless, and the widow. Well, Ruth meets all of these four categories. She was poor, she was a foreigner, she was fatherless, and she was a widow. And the law of Israel said, you need to provide for people like Ruth. And so her mother sent her into the fields with an expectation that she would find food, because people were leaving stuff behind. If you think of Passover, do you know that Passover is at exactly this time, at the time of the barley harvest? If you think about cities in Israel, you've heard of Tel Aviv. The word Aviv means springtime. And it's in the month of Aviv where they're having the Passover. And what do Jewish people do at the Passover? They remember that they were slaves in Egypt. They tell the story. And if you read in Deuteronomy 26 about the harvest celebration, part of the harvest celebration is remembering that we were once oppressed. We were once in Egypt. But God set us free. God lifted the oppression from us, therefore we must remember those who are oppressed today. Why does God tell us to be generous to the poor? Because of who He is. This gleaning law comes in a chapter about holiness. I am holy, therefore you must be holy. And part of reflecting God's character is to care for the poor. But God brings his provision through people, through you and me, through Boaz. And we have this line in verse 3 where it says that Ruth happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. I think that's a little bit of humor there from the writer of the book. It wasn't a coincidence. It was a God incidence that there she was in the field of Boaz, the most eligible bachelor in town. But Boaz could have been a really selfish guy. He could have done nothing. The needs were there to be seen, but he could have done nothing. But he wasn't a selfish guy. He was a man who knew the Lord. Look at the way he greeted the workers. He says, "The Lord be with you." He says to Ruth, "May you find refuge under the wings of the Lord, the protective wings of the Lord," verse 12. He was the kind of believer that James speaks about in chapter 2, where he says, don't just say to people, be blessed, be well fed, and do nothing for them. Do something, faith and action. Incredible verses here, which the God says, I am the Lord to exercise kindness and justice and righteousness. I don't just do it, I delight in it. This is what makes God really happy. So the harvest celebration is not a celebration unless the poor are included in the celebration. If they have nothing to eat, it is not a celebration. Listen to these words. This is about King Josiah. He defended the cause of the poor and the needy. Is that not what it means to know the Lord? Is that not what it means to know the Lord? God says, what it means to know me is to defend the cause of the poor and the needy. So we can have the most wonderful prayer times, the most wonderful spiritual experiences, but if we are not caring for the poor and the needy, Jesus may say, I never knew you at all. Matthew 25, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was in hospital, you visited me. But Lord, Lord, we never knew. Depart from me, I never knew you. What does it mean to know the Lord? It is to defend the cause of the poor and needy. It is to reflect his kindness, his justice, his righteousness. Jesus said to the disciples at the feeding of the 5,000, they said, there's not enough provision. Send them home. And Jesus said to the disciples, you give them something to eat. How crazy that must have sounded. 5,000 people, 5 loaves, 2 fishes, you give them something to eat. And this is the way that God works. He says, I want to provide through you. So God is a provider, but he provides through his people. The final point is about his protection. If we're feeling vulnerable, we need to go to where we can be secure. And Boaz says to Ruth, he says, May you be rewarded by the Lord. And under the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. It's a beautiful picture of protection. And today, you may be feeling vulnerable. You may be feeling in need of help and shelter. God knows what you need even before you ask Him. God knows what you need before you even ask Him, but He still wants you to ask. He wants you to express trust in His ability to provide. And so Ruth, she says, she asks, she says to Boaz, spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are the guardian redeemer of our family. If she had not asked, perhaps nothing would have happened. And she was brought into Boaz's family. And Jesus is the great redeemer, and He wants everyone to be part of His family. But we've got to ask. We've got to ask Him. We've got to ask Him to provide for us. And our greatest need is our need for forgiveness. And everything will flow from that relationship. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. But seek first His kingdom. As the woman of the village celebrated with her when the child was born, she says, blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer. God has not left us without a redeemer. My favorite psalm is Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. He will say of the Lord, He is my rock, my stronghold, my God in whom I trust. He will save you from the fowler's snare, and under His feathers you will find protection. It's good to learn the promises of God. In times of vulnerability, we can meditate on His promises, on His character. For me, it was through a Sony Walkman, just playing that song over and over and over again, even though I could not see why God had allowed it to happen. I was struggling to see what God was doing through it, but I believed that God is good, irrespective of what was happening. And I listened to this psalm that he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. He will say of the Lord, He is my rock, my stronghold, my God in whom I trust. And He will cover you with His feathers. Taking refuge under the God I believed in, even though I didn't understand what He was doing in that moment. And at the end of the psalm, it says, because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. He will call upon me and I will answer him. With long life, I will satisfy him and I will show him my salvation. And God is working out his plan even through our suffering. So we trust in his providence. We trust in his provision, and we trust in his protection. May you find refuge today in the Lord God, the great Redeemer. Amen.